Welcome to the Bungie Line. My name's Ted Hager.
And I'm Brad Hintze.
Brad, thanks for joining me on things today. This is our secondary channel on the Bungie Line. We have a premium interviews channel or feature interviews where we talk to people like, so far, Jeremy Zawadny, Jeff Barr, John Musser, various other people who are involved in the web API space. But this is more of our channel about talking about things with Bungie Connect and what's going on there. And I believe you've got something that you wanted to talk about for our first show on Bungie Connect. What do you got?
Yeah, so we've got an engineer here with us that is going to talk about an app that they built for the Web 2.0 Expo.
And this is a Bungie-powered app. You say they built an app, this is something built with Bungie Connect.
Yeah, exactly. So they built it entirely inside of Bungie Connect. It was kind of last minute, so it was kind of cool to throw a whistle over to him and then have him build this application.
So you're like April, I guess. This is April, early in Bungie Connect history.
Yep.
And what's the story behind it? What kind of app were you guys going for?
So a couple months before Web 2.0 Expo, we had started talking to Real Networks, and they have the Rhapsody Music service. And in September of last year, they announced a SOAP version or SOAP access to the whole Rhapsody library, which is really cool because you can search for artists and albums and tracks and all of this. And they've got big companies like Sonos who's using that. They have the little hardware player that you just plug into the network and you can get access to the Rhapsody library without a PC. So those guys are using it. And Rhapsody announced those services. So we contacted those guys and asked them if we could have access to that SOAP service. And they haven't released them publicly, but if you go talk to them, they can make an arrangement and share that with you in certain cases.
So they're doing that with like partners and things right now.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. With partners, and you establish this relationship and they'll share that with you. So they shared that wisdom with us. And a couple days before Web 2.0 Expo, we decided, hey, let's see if we can come up with a Rhapsody application and kind of show off some of the many ways that you can use Bungie.
So you're like April 18th, 2007.
It was
Web 2.0 Expo is on the following Monday.
Yeah, that's right. So we had like 2 or 3 days, and Josh found out last minute. He had one business day, a single business day, to come up with something. I emailed him. I said, here you go, Josh. Here's the whistle. Here's the link to the Rhapsody player, and good luck.
Make something.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's introduce Josh then. Josh, welcome to Bungie Line. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you.
This is Josh Skillings. Josh, tell us about your job here.
I'm a software engineer here at Bungie Labs. I was here from pretty early in the beginning. I've worked on a lot of different parts of the system. Really enjoyed it. It's been very exciting to see Bungie Labs grow and mature and expand over the years.
And so what parts of Bungie Connect are you working on?
Currently?
Yeah.
Just building out the infrastructure to be even more useful and engaging for developers.
Yeah. So you're not at the UI level. You're down underneath in the infrastructural parts, right?
I've covered both, but right now infrastructural parts.
Okay. So Brad comes along. He's got this whistle from Real Networks, this Rhapsody whistle.
Well, first they say, how would you like to go to the conference?
I'd love to go.
That would be great. It would be a lot of fun. Okay, you need to build an app to show off. You have one day, go.
So you get handed this. We have a plane ticket, but first do something with this?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So what was the whistle? What was essentially what you got from Brad? What was the componentry that he handed you?
Well, I sat down in the morning and I made a new solution called a Real App or something, and I imported the whistle that Brad gave me.
So you have no plan at this point. You just have a whistle.
I knew it had something to do with music, so I thought it might be fun to search music, learn more about it.
Okay.
So I started looking through the whistle and I saw some calls that seemed interesting. One call was get artist information. And I made the call, and I saw that it returned a biography of the artist, as well as all the albums that that artist had created.
So when you made that call, you're saying you just made the call. How did you do that? So you imported the whistle.
This
gave you all the methods that the whistle provides, plus all the types, right?
Yep.
But so when you made the call, did you like just make a call through your browser, or did you actually use Bungie to make that first initial call?
Using Bungie logic, I wrote a function, and I called into the whistle. It's just one line of code, pass in the parameters. I think the call was something like get artist data. So you pass in the artist name, and then you also give a return structure to hold what the function will return.
That ends up a type from the whistle, right?
Yes.
So from the point that you imported the whistle to the point that you saw a result from the service, how long was that? I mean, how much time did you have to spend?
30 seconds.
Really?
And, 20 seconds of that was just looking through all the different calls I could make. There's maybe 80 or 100 different calls. A lot of really great detailed calls, but I just wanted to find something simple I could do really quick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's cool.
It was essentially a search function that you saw in there, and you said, okay, so let's see whether it works.
Exactly.
Let's see what the search result. So then how did you move forward from there?
After I made the call, we got the return data, which was, as I mentioned, the biography of the artist, as well as a collection of albums. And the album collection, it's an album type. It contains things like the album name, the published date, picture of the album art. So I thought this would be cool to show. So I made a text box that displays the biography of the artist, and then I attached the collection to a list in the application so you can see all of the albums.
Yeah.
Except there's no visual structure to this data, so I dropped on a form.
So in other words, your list is just sort of a list of names, maybe. Was it like a multi-column list where you've got like different things, or was it just a basic list at this point?
I made what we call a form list.
Okay.
Initially, all I have those data, no visual way to display it.
Okay, so just ugly text on the screen. Got it.
So I went into their Wisdle and I enhanced it by giving it a form so it knows how to display itself in a form list.
For that particular type.
Correct.
Right. Albums. Yeah.
When you go into the Wisdle, you're saying the imported Wisdle that you brought into Bungie Connect, that's where you made your modifications.
Right.
It's not like you changed their service. You just added...
I enhanced their Wisdle that was on my local machine.
Okay.
So the album knew how to display itself in a more attractive way with the album art to the left and the artist, the album name and published date to the right.
Okay. Now you've got this interface. It's returning full artist information. It's got a little bit more pretty interface. Where'd you go next?
Oh, I said, that's great. Let's find out what tracks are in these albums. So I went and found another call that said, get track data from album.
Pretty straightforward.
Straightforward. Yeah. I passed it, I think, an album ID that I got initially, and it returned all the track names. And that was very easy to also throw into a list. So when you select an album, it makes the call to get the tracks.
How much time did it take for you to get the track data? You know, once you've got the list of albums, you click on the album, a particular album, and you see the list of tracks. How much time did that take for you to add that functionality?
What point in the day are we at this point?
Yeah, exactly.
From Wisdle handed to you to you having actually a list of not just artists, but selectable to track data?
We're probably about 20 minutes in.
20 minutes in. Okay.
Right.
Neat.
So after getting the album data and making it a little more visually appealing, just another 5 minutes to get the track data.
Visually appealing, you're dragging cover art and things like that into another form list, right?
Right.
All right.
Blue font, bold, 16-point, something like that.
Oh, you are fancy.
Yeah.
So from there, you added more functionality to it. From what I understand, the entire story of this thing is somewhere around 7 hours later, you had a demo app. 2 hours later?
2 hours.
Oh. Okay, so the legend is different than I've been telling you. See, I don't like to go with the shorter numbers because people just don't believe that, but you're
believable.
The dev. So, okay. 2 hours later, you actually had a demoable app?
That's right. I had all my functionality done in about an hour, and we can continue describing that. But it didn't look really great, so I took it to our internal artist guy, Travis, and he looked at it and just...
Did
he
laugh at
you? Great suggestions. Oh, yeah. He always laughs. But he had some great ideas to make it a lot more polished and nice looking, and that's what you'll see now.
So he spruced it up. All right, so we're going to have a link to this on the post for this particular episode of the Bungie Line so people can check it out. There's going to actually be a video so people can see it.
A screencast, yeah.
And we'll make Brad, you're going to actually narrate that
right,
one.
Exactly. So yeah, I'll walk around the app and show kind of the features and some of the things.
So people can get an idea. What other kind of things about this whole production process should we mention here?
I think that one of the cool things that you did, too, with the app, and something I hadn't thought about when I handed the Wisdle over to you, was the integration of a second web service. And in this case, it was the Lyric service. And so I thought that was a really cool thing because the Rhapsody service has a lot of really cool data, very useful data. But, you know, as the consumer of a music application, you know, it's very interesting to see exactly what the artist is saying in the song. And so you...
Or roughly tell, what the artist is
roughly,
saying.
Roughly, yeah, exactly. Because generally, sometimes you just make up your own lyrics, right?
Yeah, there's the excuse me while I kiss this guy, the famous Jimi Hendrix line.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us the process that you went through to kind of figure out what services to add to that and how you found that service.
Well, after I got the track data, I believe you sent me an email that said, hey, you may be able to actually play songs using an embedded player.
Yeah, that's right.
And I looked at the URL you gave me, and it had a track ID. Mm-hmm. And I had just gotten the track data, so I knew the IDs. So I made an embedded HTML control that pointed to the player.
Okay.
That dynamically refreshes based on the track ID you just double-clicked.
And that's
on.
Reels right. Rhapsody Reels, player yeah. that you embedded. So this Correct. Is just an iframe inside the app? Or
that's
what
right. Okay. Just an iframe.
Yeah, they have a JavaScript control, right?
That's
the
right.
player to do it.
And if you pass it a URL that has an ID or an album ID, it will automatically play that album or ID.
Yeah.
25 free plays without an account sort of thing.
Right. Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
So now I'm listening to music and I'm thinking, you know, I love listening to music. It's also fun to follow along with the words. But I've never seen this kind of service out there. Usually I'm listening to a song and I have to go do a Google search for the lyrics. Wouldn't it be great to have it all in one place? So I started searching for just lyrics. I came across an open source website called Lyrics Wiki, and they had a SOAP service. They take, I think, an artist's name and a track name, and then you turn the lyrics.
And there you just mashed it up. You actually were able to just pass the data you already had to it and show the lyrics?
Exactly right.
Now, that actually brings up a very important question. How does ASCAP feel about that kind of thing? So I guess that's probably one reason why this app is not a live deployed app out there. Is one, it's a real partner thing for the Wisdl, but also that's kind of the gray area, right? The whole Lyric Wiki side of things.
At the conference when I was sort of showing this app off, everyone thought it was really cool, but when Real saw that I was showing lyrics, they wondered about that.
They advised against.
Yeah, they're a little sensitive to those types of issues.
So even though that might be in the demo app here, this is more just showing kind of the mashup of a couple services. And if ASCAP is listening to this or gets a hold of this, we want to assure you that this app is not a live app that we've published out there on the net.
Yeah, and if you want to build a similar app, you might want to check into those restrictions. Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anything else that you wanted to bring up about this, Josh or Brad?
Oh, we also had the idea that when people are listening to music and doing searches, they like to save songs or artists or albums they enjoyed. So we made an area called Favorites where you can drag and drop an artist or track or an album right into this Favorites area.
Now, this is kind of a trippy thing because I've seen this interface and I've actually used it a little bit. And this is when I was first getting into Bungie Connect and starting to learn about it. And you actually made it so you can drag a whole album into this favorites list or a single track into this list. And what I noticed on it that was interesting is the album displays as an album in this list. The track displays as a track, and they've got two different looks. The album has cover art, for instance, and it has an artist who it's by and maybe some other things, maybe how many tracks or whatever. But then you've got the track where it just is pretty much the track name and the artist name or something like that. It's a very different look between these two items. They're in the same list. How hard was the logic to get to make it so that you could do that display of those two things?
It's just different views on the data that Rhapsody returned. Rhapsody has an album structure, and as I mentioned earlier, I made a form so it displays nice album art. I made another form so it can display an album in a favorites list.
In a smaller form.
Exactly. Right?
Smaller form factor.
Yeah, a little, I think, 16 by 16 icon of the album art instead of, you know, a big 128 by 128.
So it doesn't overwhelm when it's sitting next to a track. It's
right.
They have slight balancing difference between them, but they're close enough that it looks consistent and everything. But my real question on that is mixing and matching the types on that, because you're dealing with an object type of a track and you're dealing with an album type as well. And these two different types there, they've got these two different forms. What exactly do you have to do in order to get it so that they display their two forms? How much wiring up is that?
You just make the form and then you assign that form to say, this is how it shows when it's in this container. So the favorites container says, show me the favorites form for any object inside me.
Okay.
And so then in the album type, you had a form that was identified as the favorites form.
Exactly.
And then the artist type, you had a form that was identified the same way, right?
That's exactly right.
So that container, it was the dynamic form list, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is, now that's that type for that container, was that object? Because both the artist type and the album type and the track type, they both inherit from object? Or how did you do that so that you have a collection of multiple types?
They were the same base type.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I'm not sure whether it was object or a Rhapsody type, like metadata or something. Okay.
So you might have made your own parent type, like based on like an object, but then both of these were inheriting from that
correct
base type. So now you could use polymorphism in the list, and that's how it could find the right
sure
different forms for it. Okay.
Everything in the system is an object anyway, so if you make a collection of type object, anything can go in there.
Right. Exactly.
And if people listening are having a hard time following exactly what we're talking about there, check out the video because you'll be able to see it, and Brad will actually show this is one of the features inside the list.
Yeah, I'll call that out specifically. I think one of the other really cool interactions that you added, and you actually taught this trick to me through this application, and that was double click. Because what you had envisioned was using the Rhapsody player that was embedded inside of the application to play an album or play a track. And the way you added that to that player so it would play it was by double-clicking an album or double-clicking a track. And so I thought that was an interesting user interaction inside of a web application to get that. And it was really handy. It was a great way to get that into the player and actually make it work.
Does that mean, Brad, that a single click can do a different action than a double click?
Yeah. Because if you single click on an album, you see all the tracks.
Then does a query to get all
right
the tracks.
Right.
But if you double click the album, it plays the whole album?
Exactly. It adds the whole entire album to the player. And so
there
that
goes
really
your 25
cool
plays. Half of them are gone right there.
Exactly.
So very cool stuff. So check out the video online. Josh Skillings, we want to say thanks very much for coming in here and telling
you
us a little bit about your madcap rush to get an application so you could go to Web2.0 Expo last April.
They let me go. It was great.
It was definitely a hit. There was a lot of interest from the attendees, and even the employees who saw it were all very excited because it looked great. The functionality was pretty darn cool, and it was amazing that you could get it done so darn quickly too.
And if you're a listener and you want to check out Bungie Connect and you're not already doing so, you can go to www.bungieconnect.com and you can actually sign up for the beta. And if you are a beta user already, you probably already know that we've got an IRC channel, we've got forums and various other ways to contact us. So if you want to learn how to do some of this, if you want to use Bungie Connect for these kind of things, you can just jump right in, interact with us, and get started. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time.